We obviously don't have a quorum yet, but we would love Senator Jackson to present her bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and member. This is SB 55, a bill that will extend the sunset on the DASH program. This is the Distinguished After-School Health Program by 5 years to January 1, 2023. And I'm happy to accept the committee's proposed amendments. Amendment on page 4, comment 3, as an author's amendment. Originally, we were hoping to just simply keep this an open-ended program. I certainly understand and frankly agree. Let's see what happens over the next 5 years. I'm an eternal optimist, but I understand caution sometimes is the best approach, and it is my hope that at the end of that period of time, the program will be a permanent one. But I certainly accept and agree that a five-year sunset at this point is an appropriate response. With the program just having completed its first full year of implementation, this additional period will give us the opportunity to assess how it functions. This program was created in collaboration initially with the YMCA, which had received a grant from the Robert Woods Johnson Foundation. And the premise is to make sure that children eat healthy, have a healthy lifestyle, model that, and have that experience in after school type programs without there being any cost to the state or actually to the program itself, other than assuring that children are exposed to a healthy after school environment, which means only fresh fruits and vegetables, which means at least 30 to 45 minutes a day of physical activity, and no screen time except for educational purposes. And the more I see of what young people do today, perhaps a few of us older folks constantly looking at screens, this is the kind of program that's going to require children to interact with each other, to be healthy and active. And it's a program which simply requires the Department of Education to put out a website. That funding last year was successful in creating that website and getting the word out. This is a market-based program, so it really doesn't cost a lot to run a program that ultimately we hope every school will want to be, as we have distinguished schools. It's our hope every school will want to, or every after-school program. Some of them are run on school grounds by schools. Some are run, for example, by the YMCA and other after-school programs. This is, I think, a win-win at very little cost, and will establish the groundwork and the framework for young people as they grow up to live healthier lives. And certainly with our obesity epidemic, which we know in many respects is something that we could prevent, modeling this kind of good behavior is very, I think, very appropriate. So youth who participate in this program, as I said, are taught basic necessary skills, you know, being active, eating well, thinking well, and engaging each other in conversation and activity, I think is basically a win-win. And I would mention that in its first year, 190 after-school programs were certified from Shasta down to San Diego. And again, with very little word being out there, the first year of the program, there were 220 who applied, 190 were accepted. We expect that that will increase exponentially going forward, and certainly we hope that it will and anticipate that. So I have with me today Chris Lev Twombly, who represents the California State Alliance of YMCAs, and Dennis, are they here? Ah, they're here, and Dennis Cuevas Romero of the American Heart Association to testify in support of the bill. We also have Alejandro Espinoza from the California Department of Education to answer any technical questions that you might have. And with that, I would respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Hi, good morning, Chair and members. Dennis Cuevas Romero with the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association.
Just excuse me one second. I noticed the presence of a quorum. I'd love our secretary to please call the roll.
Senator Allen.
Here.
Senator Wilk. Senator Galgiani. Senator Leyva.
Here.
Senator Mendoza.
Here.
Senator Pan. Senator Vidak.
Here.
All right, thank you.
Dennis Cuevas Romero with the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, in strong support of the bill. As the senator eloquently articulated, you know, we are, as a state of California, we have a growing obesity problem. In addition, we have nearly half of our citizens will develop type 2 diabetes. You know, nearly half of them are pre-diabetic or will contract type 2 diabetes. So we think creating these healthy healthy eating and physical activity, you know, the keeping it at, for youth at, when they're very young and ingraining those habits is incredibly important to try to combat these chronic diseases, particularly with the encouragement of eating healthy foods and providing water to students so they build those you know, those habits. We strongly support the bill.
Good morning, Chair and members. Chris Lev Tuomly with the California State Alliance of YMCAs. Keep my comments brief this morning. As the senator mentioned, we sponsored the original legislation in 2014 to establish the DASH program. And last year worked with a number of after-school providers, others in the field, and the Department of Education on an advisory council to design and launch the program. And we had our first year in 2016. I would say the results were good within the scale that we were able to achieve, but certainly the problem that we're hoping to address through the program or begin to address through the program is much larger than the scale we achieved in the first year and would respectfully request more time. We certainly agree with the points made in the analysis as well as a recommendation for 5-year sunset, whatever that time may be. There's a valuation project underway which should have a report in 2018, so I think we're on track here. The value of the program, Senator and my colleague here both spoken well to that, so we request your support for this measure today.
Alejandro Espinosa, on behalf of State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tom Tolikson. The department currently does not have a position on the bill, but we are just here to provide any technical assistance if there's any technical questions. Thank you.
Are there other speakers here in support? If you could just come to the microphone and thank you.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Jeff Davis. I'm the executive director with the California Department of, with the California After School Network, and we are a partner with the California Department of Education's Expanded Learning Division. And you know, in our work with that division, we have found that the division strongly supports the implementation of this bill. One piece of not in an official capacity in terms of Tom Torlakson's support, but they supported the implementation of this bill last year without utilizing any of the funding available. What we also find is that there's national favor for such a program. In fact, Texas just introduced a program called the Distinguished After School Health Program. And a similar bill was just introduced in North Carolina, spurred really by favor with Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the American Heart Association as well. In our look at it, Senator Jackson's bill last year received strong favor within the California legislature, and the California After School Network, who works closely with California's 4,500 expanded learning programs as part of the system of support for expanded learning, is committed to assisting in the implementation of the bill by providing increased communication to the field and support for its implementation.
Thank you. Are there any speakers in opposition or anyone who wants to raise concerns? Okay, members, are there questions for the panel or any points of discussion? Someone like to move the bill perhaps? Okay, we've got a motion for the bill. You were so succinct and well and
surprisingly so.
I really do thank you, Senator, for your leadership in this issue. This has been something that you've been working on for some time, and I appreciate your taking the amendments. I think we're going to all watch this closely, and maybe we'll be back 4 or 5 years from now together, extending it off into perpetuity. But really do appreciate your championing of this very important issue.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So would you like to close?
Sure. I think this is really sort of a terrific opportunity at virtually no cost. There'll be regular and ongoing nutrition education, 30 to 60 minutes a day of physical activity, limited time in front of TVs and screens, healthy food options, some of the great cherries that come from our colleague from the Great Central Valley, great options for children, a good opportunity to learn at very little cost. And I assure you, I will be on the phone today with the superintendent of public instruction to get the enthusiastic endorsement of the Department of Education, because I know that this issue is very important to him as well. So with that, I would urge your aye vote, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Senator. Secretary, please call the roll.
Item 1, Senate Bill 55, Senator Jackson. The motion is do pass as amended to appropriations. Allen?
Aye.
Wilk?
Aye.
Galgiani?
Aye.
Leyva?
Aye.
Mendoza?
Aye.
Pan?
Aye.
And Vidak?
Aye.
7.
It's a unanimous vote. Congratulations, Senator.
I'm going to relish this. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you, Senator. All right, we'll next hear from Senator McGuire, who is here to present his bill, SB 164, relating to tribal TANF. Welcome, Senator.
Mr. Chair, good morning, and good morning to all on the committee. Thank you so much for having. Honored to be able to introduce Senate Bill 1164. Mr. Chair, California is home to just under 2 million Native Americans. We are home to many successful tribes, but when you dig into the data, Native American communities have some of the highest poverty and lowest educational achievement levels in the Golden State. And as we all know, and as our chair is leading the way, one of the best tools this state and nation has to lift folks out of poverty is equal access to public education. And that's why we are here today. In the 13-14 state budget, CalWORKs, or tribal TANF participants, weren't awarded priority registration at California's community colleges. And that has created a significant challenge. Priority legislation leads to faster degrees and certificate completion, more flexibility to balance work schedules and family responsibilities. And not only does the program help the most vulnerable and high-need students, it also saves the state funding because it enables participants to leave the program and succeed in the job market faster. Despite the highest poverty and education attainment levels in the state, tribal TANF participants were not granted priority registration with their CalWORKs counterparts. SB 1164 closes the glaring gap by extending priority registration at California community colleges to participants of the tribal TANF program. More than 1 in 3 Native American kids live in poverty in the United States, while 22% ages 25 and older have not finished up high school, the lowest of any racial demographic group in the country. Only 13% have completed a bachelor's degree or higher, compared to 29% throughout America. And for students on tribal TANF living below the poverty level, there are additional challenges to attending college, such as transportation and childcare responsibilities. California currently provides priority registration for veterans, disabled students, and foster youth, and CalWORKs recipients. The one recipient who is missing from this are the Native Americans. And according to the Community College Chancellor's Office, there are currently just over 10,000 Native American students attending California's community colleges, making Native Americans 0.44% of the total 2.1 million student population at community colleges. So this means this bill will not significantly impact community college enrollment or administrative responsibilities. And this legislation, though, will have a profound impact on California's poorest tribal residents. SB 164 removes a significant barrier to breaking out of poverty through higher education by ensuring that all TANF recipients receive the benefit of priority registration. Mr. Chair, I have with us today Lori Lewis, who is the Executive Director of the Tribal TANF Partnership, Benai Cromwell, a tribal home visitor family advocate, as well as Mike Harold from the Western Center of Law and Poverty. Mr. Chair, at the appropriate time, would respectfully ask for an aye vote. And again, thank you so much for allowing us to be here.
Thank you, Senator. We'd love to hear from your witnesses.
Hello, my name is Lori Lewis, and I'm actually the education director for California Tribal TANF. And I wanted to share my experience because over the last 2 years, I've worked with a group of youth. I represent, my territory starts from Modoc, and it goes all the way from San Joaquin County. There are 22 federally recognized tribes. We worked with a group of students who were not scheduled to graduate, but they made it to graduation. And then when I attempted to take them to the community college to enroll them, they were unable to enroll because there were no classes left for them. And to this day, it's been about almost a year and a half that they still have not been able to enroll. When you are not the, if you're not CalWORKs, then you don't have the ability to get that pre-registration. And also, if you are a freshman, then you are the last to choose your classes. In our communities, we're very rural, we're very distant, and I really applaud the community college because they've done everything to help us, including helping us get books. We drive them out to the students. We drive the students to the college. We do whatever we have to do. We're working at night and day and morning, but the students are still unable to get those classes. And a lot of times we are told when we get there, the language was just different if you were included in this language. But that's very disheartening to a student who started off at a 3.3 or not even a 0.1, or they just didn't even have a GPA, and now they're at a 2.75 or almost at a 3, and they want to go on to college, and they can't. And it took 2 years to get there, and they can't get work permits anymore, so now they're unable to even have work experience once they've graduated. So they're just kind of sitting in limbo. So I just wanted to share that experience with you and to ask you, because as an educator, as a social worker, as a support person, being married to a tribal leader, it's very important for our kids to have this experience. We're doing all we can, and we need your help.
Good morning. My name is Benayakim Dadu-Lebeth Cromwell. I am Eastern Pomo from Robinson Rancheria on my mother's side, and I am Big Valley Rancheria on my father's side. I'm here today to support Senate Bill 164 for post-secondary education priority registration for tribal TANF recipients. Tribal TANF is an aid separate from CalWORKs, but it affects many of our Native children in our communities. I am a tribal home visitor. I work for Lake County Tribal Health as a family advocate, so I'm in the homes of Native American families, and education is one major priority for our community. We just completed at Tribal Health a community needs and readiness assessment, and these are some of the statistics from that assessment. Approximately 3,700 American Indian Native Alaskans live in Lake County, that's according to the 2010 census, and 42% of those American Indian Alaska Natives in Lake County do live below the federal poverty line, and that's according to the American Community Survey from 2011 to 2015. So that's what I'm dealing with as a family advocate. We also got some information about education. According to the National School Boards Association, concerning school suspensions, out-of-school suspensions, the suspension rates, 9% of students in California were suspended between 2011 and 2015. During that same period, Lake County American Indians and Native Alaskans were suspended at a 17% rate, almost double. When it comes to the high school dropout rate in Lake County, during the time period of 2010-2015, in Lake County, for California students, 12.3% dropped out between those years. In Lake County, for American Indian and Native Alaskans, during that same period, 25.2% dropped out. So that's one out of every four students do not complete their education on time. Our needs and readiness assessment also surveyed 700 community Native members, and of those 700, we asked them, what are your priorities? What are your priorities for yourself and your family? And we gave them approximately 18 options of their priority in our community, and we only took the top five. And out of those top five, three are regarding education. Job skills and adult education was one that was a priority. Helping people stay in school and increase our graduation rates is a priority. And getting our children ready for school, whether it be pre-K, whether it be kindergarten, middle school, or high school. So our community recognizes the importance of education. And our American Indian and Alaska Native students navigate high poverty rates, almost double the suspension rates, and definitely double the high school dropout
rate. Just ask you to wrap up your comments. Appreciate it. Okay.
This bill will help benefit those Native students in our community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And then just briefly, because I think the bill is without controversy, but...
That's good to hear. This is Mike Carroll with the Western Center on Law and Poverty. This was actually a provision that we worked with the legislature and the administration on in the 2013-14 budget, I believe. The year after, we went to a 24-month clock for wealth for CalWORKs program. And the purpose was because they had such a limited time on assistance to be able to get through their welfare to work activities, it made sense that the families would get, these adults would get expedited enrollment, early enrollment opportunities to make sure they got the classes they need in a timely fashion. There was never any intent to exclude the tribal TANF population, and this clearly is a friendly amendment and something we fully support. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I notice we have one speaker in support. If you just speak briefly.
Justin Selnick on behalf of the California Community Colleges Chancellor's Office. And at this time, we don't have a formal position, but we're supportive of the concept, and we'll keep working with the author on it as it goes forward.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Cynthia Castillo on behalf of the Faculty Association of California Community Colleges in support.
Thank you.
Eddie Crandall, Robinson Rancheria Tribal Chair and the California Tribal TANF Partnership Executive Chair. I am in full support of
64.
Jim Steele, Supervisor, Lake County District 3. I have three tribes in my district. That district is one of the most impoverished in the entire state. I have nine communities and all of them severely disadvantaged. I have three tribes. So we're all in the same boat over there. We really need some help all across the board, and certainly for the tribes. The tribal members are proud of themselves, and they're coming back. They are absolutely in need of this, and we really need to support it, as well as all of the other tribal functions in this state, because they are all coming back and are teaching us how really to look forward and work on the land so that we are not in a negative way impacting the surroundings that we have. And Lake County truly has some beautiful surroundings.
It sure does. I love that place. I've spent some time driving around there. Thank you.
Brian Howe with California Federation of Teachers. We also don't have a formal position, but this is something that I am recommending to our board. Thank you.
Thank you. Any speakers in opposition or folks who want to raise concerns? Okay, the floor is open to questions. Senator Galgiani, Senator Pan, Senator Mendoza, and Senator Levin? No? Okay. Senator Galgiani.
I want to thank you for bringing this forward, and I'm supporting the bill today, but I think it also points to a larger problem that if we're at a point where we're selecting tiers for priority registration, it speaks to the greater need that we need to put more money into community colleges overall so that young people who want to go to college are not put second, third in line because there isn't enough to offer every student who wants to attend college. So I thank you, but I hope that we will continue to focus on how we get more money to the community colleges so that every student has access to all the classes that they need all the time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Senator Penn.
Thank you. First of all, I just want to thank you, Senator McGuire, for bringing this bill up, and I plan to be voting for the bill today. I share Senator Galgiani's concern. Also, I don't know in terms of, as we're seeing they're doing priorities, what percentage of applicants we're talking about who now have priority, not for just this one, but cumulatively. But I think it then speaks to what Senator Galgiani just said. We really, to a certain extent, the reason we're priority so important is because our capacity issue, and we ultimately need to address that. So while I certainly agree that this group deserves priority, I also am concerned that who in the end are we having problems with because we're not addressing the larger problem that's going to prevent people from being able to get in.
That's right. Senator Mendoza, followed by Vice Chair Wilk.
I just want to thank the author for bringing the bill forward. Great testimony. I would like to move the bill.
Okay. The bill's been moved. Senator Wilk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be supportive today. In fact, I worked with Assemblyman Jimmy Gomez to expand priority registration a couple years ago. I apologize that we missed this. And it's not always about capacity. It's about certain population groups. It's an effort
to go and register for classes. And so this is not necessarily a capacity issue. It's just giving them greater flexibility to be able to get in and do that. One thing we do, if you want to put in more resources into community colleges, and I'm going to say this until we fix it, is more counselors. Because in order to have an education plan, you need to work with a counselor. System-wide, for every counselor, there's 1,850 community college students. So if you do the math, it works out that you can see a counselor like once every other year. That's not acceptable. So I'm very excited for the bill, and we'll support it today.
Thank you. Without further discussion, would you like to close, Senator?
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. All priority categories combined represent less than 5% of the total 2.1 million in the community college system. And what we believe is this bill, and do appreciate the community college and their transfers office for helping us look at Native Americans, this would assist an additional 4,300 Native Americans across the state on an annual basis. So would respectfully ask for an aye vote, and thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and to the committee for all the wonderful comments. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Secretary, please call the roll.
This is item 2, SB 164, Senator McGuire. The motion is do pass to appropriations. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Galgiani?
Aye.
Galgiani, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Vidak?
Aye.
Vidak, aye.
There's another unanimous vote. Congratulations, Senator. Thank you,
thank you so much.
Witnesses for coming in. Appreciate your advocacy. We'll next hear from our very own Senator Leyva, who is going to be talking to us about drinking water with SB 210. You may proceed.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, members. And happy International Women's Day to everyone. I love seeing all of the red, and I see some of our gentlemen have joined us in wearing red, so thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. It is 2017, and I'm still surprised by some of the issues that we have to address, one being clean drinking water in schools. SB 210 is a critical next step to ensure that all K through 12 children across California have access to clean drinking water at school. Parents across the state, particularly in disadvantaged communities, are concerned that their children might be exposed to lead contaminated water. In 2015, I authored SB 334, which paved the way for the State Water Resources Control Board to guarantee free water testing on school campuses, which school officials can now receive upon request. However, schools are not currently required to test their water or act once lead or other harmful contaminants have been found in their water system. We all know that there is no safe amount of lead that can be consumed by children. Children can develop anemia, stomach problems, even liver or kidney damage from lead exposure. We also know that rural and low-income areas disproportionately suffer the effects of tainted water. No parent should have to worry about their children being poisoned by the water they drink during recess or while walking to class. SB 210 would require schools to provide clean water to their students. Currently, lunchtime is the only time of day that the state has required that schools provide clean drinking water. In order to incentivize schools to take advantage of the free water testing, SB 210 ensures that schools that test their water and have contamination issues would receive priority for state clean drinking water grants. If the water is contaminated, schools would also be required to provide alternative clean water sources and notify parents, staff, and students about its quality, water quality issues. This bill represents a collaborative approach between school districts and the state to help ensure that drinking water in our schools is safe for our children to consume. Providing our children with clean water and keeping them healthy should be a priority for all of us. And I respectfully ask for your aye vote. I would be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Senator. And appreciate your longstanding commitment to this issue. Are there
the bill?
There's a motion. Would you like to briefly state your support or opposition? Or
I think we have some support here as well.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Hi, Asha Kreiling with Community Water Center. We were late to support our support letter, but happy to be here to express our support. Community Water Center, we're based in the Central Valley. We work with small rural communities that lack access to safe and affordable drinking water. We've worked alongside Senator Leyva since her introduction of SB 334 in 2015. While that bill was vetoed, it did kickstart a program at the State Water Board to offer free voluntary testing to schools for lead contamination. That program just started this January this year. We're excited to see how it goes, but as Senator Leyva said, there are some issues that remain to be addressed. For example, if lead is found in the water, it is recommended that the school and the public water system take action and try to resolve that contamination, but it's not required. Also, as Senator Leyva said, meal times is the only time that schools are required by law to provide safe drinking water, and to us, that's not quite acceptable. So we strongly support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming. Very briefly.
Annette Amidas Natsuna with Children Now. Thank you so much for this bill, and we strongly support this bill to incentivize schools to act to ensure that students have access to clean, safe drinking water.
Dennis Cuevas Romero with the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, in strong support.
Thank you. Any other folks who want to make comments in opposition or raise concerns? Any questions from the committee? Yes, Senator Pan.
I do have a question. I don't know whether you can answer it. It's probably more appropriately directed to the administration. But according to the governor's previous veto message, he stated that he was directing the State Water Resources Control Board to work with school districts to incorporate water quality testing as part of their lead and copper rule. Do we know what progress? So you mentioned that they have the voluntary. I mean, is there any more progress on that aside from that? Oh, so I see someone up here. Oh, no.
I can help answer.
Yes.
And I would say that's the voluntary testing.
So that's the extent to which.
That's the extent, correct. Anything else?
And to add, the State Water Board has been saying that they're waiting for the federal EPA to fix and improve the lead and copper rule. But with the new administration, I think the California State Water Board is trying to act proactively to now include schools in the lead and copper rule. But we know that will take a while.
Yeah, I understand that there's proposals to cut the EPA, so my guess is it probably take a little longer than expected. Okay, thank you.
Without any further questions, if you'd like to close, Senator?
Respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you so much. All right, Secretary, please call the roll.
Okay. To item 3, Senate Bill 210, Senator Leyva. The motion is to do pass as amended to environmental quality. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Wilk?
Aye.
Wilk, aye. Galgiani? Galgiani, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Vidak?
Aye.
Vidak, aye.
Oh. Well, congratulations. It's another unanimous vote. Really do appreciate your work on this issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, members. With that, this meeting is adjourned.